We get bewitched today on Podcast Magoria. Hello and welcome, my dear listeners, our dear listeners, the dearest of listeners, to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. The end is coming.
It's very near.
While waiting for the end, just know this. I'm James.
And I'm Autumn. And we're being so mysterious today.
I don't know what's got into me for this one, but something's got me bewitched for our W episode.
Oh.
Warlock.
Oh. I didn't realize how much nostalgia I had for this movie until I watched it. And I was like, holy crap, I remember pretty much everything about this movie, even down to the freaking little globe earrings the girl wears, because my aunt had a pair of those. So, yeah, it's really bizarre how this movie did that to me.
Yeah, there is definitely some sort of, like, unlocked memory to it. And I don't know if I saw it more than once or twice as a kid, but I was definitely in the room, because there's several scenes that I specifically remember.
As soon as we started watching it, the floodgates opened and I remembered the entire movie. So I must have watched it a lot as a very small child.
Yeah, crazy. This movie came out in 1989. It runs at... I think we're over the line on that one.
Uh-huh.
We run at an hour and 47 minutes.
Ooh.
This better have a lot going for it to have that much time.
Right? It better be like Van Helsing, where it's just a laugh and goof and action a minute.
Yeah, just jam full of stuff. Well, let's see how they managed to stretch this into an hour and 47 minutes by jumping right in. We see a cat getting stuffed into a basket. Oh, off to a great start.
Yep. Right out of the gate, some animal cruelty. Yeah. Gotta love it.
Yeah. We have a long sequence of what seems to be like town elders or clergymen. I don't know really what to call them.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily sure what to call them either, but they're three important people.
Yes. And as they're walking through this village, all the townsfolk are stopping what they're doing and watching them with worried eyes. And I'm getting a little bit of the stink of Eyes of Fire
this one. Yep.
Where I'm like, this is making me feel a little uneasy, and not in a cool way. Amongst this sequence, we do get the title of the movie. After a long while of these guys walking through town, they finally reach a tower, go up the stairs, enter the room, and we see our titular warlock all bound up with these little thumb and toe cuffs.
Yeah, they're kind of cute, actually. I'm not really sure. There's got to be some lore somewhere that I've never read about. You got to keep the thumbs and the toes together.
Wow, folks, you should see the look on my face, because usually this is where you chime in and go, oh, well, this is the Hostel Splats lore.
I know. This one had me stumped. I was like, huh, was that a thing that they did at some point? It probably makes sense somewhere along the line that they would do this to warlocks. I mean, they don't really use their thumbs or toes to do their magic, though. Could you imagine if this warlock was just pointing his little toe at everybody going, pew, 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 pew magic. Pew.
I wish that would have come into play later on in the movie.
He is such a, like, fancy lad.
Yes.
That I think it would be hilarious to see him do that.
Oh, absolutely. While they're there trying to get the Mr. Warlock to confess to his crimes and him just giving him the cold shoulder, we do see in the doorway behind them our witch hunter, Giles.
Yes.
What was his last name?
Redfern. I feel like most people call him Redfern. Like, it goes back and forth.
Yeah, half of my notes is his first name, and then the back half, once I caught on to the fact that everybody's calling him by his last name, I was like, oh, shit. Well, all right. So I might be bouncing back and forth on that one throughout the episode. But yeah, he's watching them not get a confession out, so he goes in instead of starts to rough the warlock up, and just like, hey, you're going to die tomorrow. Keep an eye on this one.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, it's a taunting match between the two.
Yeah, and then Redfern ends up telling the fellas, hey, be sure that those thumb locks stay on him until he is reduced to ash,
mm-hmm.
because if those get off, shoof, off he's going
to
go.
He can use his little thumbs to zap us.
Zap, 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 zap. I can't imagine doing magic with my thumbs.
I know.
It feels really awkward to try to point my thumb at people. I've never done that before. It feels alien to me.
When Redfern walks out of this tower, a badly imposed storm is overhead.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the warlock, in just that little amount of time, has already escaped.
Yeah. Redfern runs back up into the room and sees where the warlock once was is now just a little dust devil.
Yeah.
And he zoops into the dust devil, disappearing as well into who knows where.
We know where, James. It's the future.
That's right.
Well, the past now for us.
The past for us. The future for them. Yeah, it's the modern age. And this sequence feels like the beginning of Terminator. Is that how? Is that
okay?
Like,
yeah.
I guess just time travel. If you show up in the 80s.
Yeah, because there's going to be some lightning going. There's going to be some strong winds all over town.
Crumpled newspapers.
Yeah, this is exactly what it looks like when you time travel.
Yeah, a radio is going to turn on that's in the trash, just sitting on top of a trash can.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. There's no power to that radio. How'd they do that?
Magic. It's magic power. It was getting in a magic radio station. The warlock's tornado, I guess you can call it, kind of follows up a little street and up to a house,
mm-hmm.
where we are introduced to one of our lead characters, Cassandra, and her roommate, Chaz.
Yeah, it's funny because he slams through their window.
Yeah.
And instead of them being like, ah, who is this guy? And, oh my God, is he okay? They're like, oh, we should take him in. He's one of the homeless people.
Yeah, it's Cassandra's roommate's just like, I'm no stranger to bringing in strays, looking at her.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess. So they put him in her bed to recover.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is that he's like, oh, we can put him in your bed. It'll be just fine.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird. The next day, we're introduced to a character trait with Cassandra, and that is we see her injecting insulin. Diabetes is not often tackled, even today, in movies or shows, and usually the representation is a laugh. Like, they make fun of it more often than they make it actually something that's challenging to deal with.
Yeah.
And so it's neat seeing somebody that's not old or overweight having to actually worry about their blood sugar.
Yep.
That's
especially
rare as
hell.
Especially
for the 80s.
Yes. So cool.
Our warlock has woken up, and Cassandra's like, oh no, you need to lay back down. Everything will be okay. Just rest up.
Mm-hmm.
We see Cassandra leave for her job while in her car doing her makeup. Very dangerous thing to do. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't apply makeup while you're driving.
Because she is very obviously distracted while she's doing it, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So that leaves Chaz and the warlock back at the house together. And the warlock is very taken by Chaz's ring that he has on.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, you know, I'd let you try it on, but it stuck to my finger. And Warlock, well, he's just a helpful fella.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, oh, I can get that ring off for you. Slice.
He takes what he wants when he wants it. And he gets Chaz's ring. Then he decides to kiss Chaz to death.
Yeah, yeah. He...
That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, he bites off his tongue. And he gives him a deathly French kiss.
Yes.
And then spits his tongue into a frying pan. It's so weird.
It's silly.
Yeah.
It's definitely a silly death. And so far, this movie has had kind of a serious tone.
Yeah.
And it follows throughout the whole movie. But there are just so... There's a few scenes that make this humorous.
Yeah. This movie, I would say overall demeanor... almost feels like the same kind of like humor and stuff that you see in like Hocus Pocus.
Right.
Like
right.
I would watch a double feature of this movie and Hocus Pocus because
that could be kinda cute.
There's
yeah.
something about it that just kind of works.
Yeah, start with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
And then when the kiddies go to sleep, put on Warlock.
Yeah. And get pretty much the same kind of feel because this movie's really goofy.
Yeah.
I think unintentionally, too. Checking back in with Cassandra, she's at the diner and she is then taken to the police department for questioning because somehow the cops find out that her roommate has been killed.
Yeah, that was really fast that all of that happened.
Yeah, this is, this is pre-cell phone, pre-internet. So how did anybody, if they say I didn't catch it, like how they found the body.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, did Warlock just call him up, even though he's from the past?
I have no idea.
Pretty much they're asking Cassandra about his lovers.
Yeah.
We know he had all sorts of lovers, so do you think it was one of them that killed him like this?
Yeah. They're pretty much alluding to the fact that since he's gay, it must be like some sort of sick murderer situation. It's just like, yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Kindly kiss my ass, PD. Checking back in with Warlock, he goes to the town psychic. And hey, kids, look who it is. It's old Mary Warrenov. We have another connection.
Yay!
To more movies.
Yay.
Earlier
She's
in,
here.
Yep. Just a few episodes ago, she was featured in Terror Vision. And I'm just hoping that every year for A to Z, we have a movie that has her in it. Because
yeah.
I absolutely adore her. And anytime that she's on screen, as we said in Terrorvision, it's a delight. And honestly, whenever she popped up, I was like, oh, man, like, I wonder who else might show up. Some other folks that she works with.
Right.
Unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, not in this one.
Warlock wants her to use her psychic abilities to channel Zamiel. And she's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I can do that, oink, oink. She starts to do her hocus pocus.
That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
Because she's one of these fake psychics.
Yeah. And she puts on this voice. She's like, what question do you have for me? And he's just like, no. I'm waiting for the real guy to show up.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it is me. What are you? And then she's taken over by the actual entity.
Yeah, I love that it actually happens.
Yes.
Was it Warlock's manifestation of wanting to talk to him? Or what? What happened? How did she actually pull it off?
I think that by just trying to summon and being near an actual magic user, that was enough to pull this ancient evil.
Man, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
sure, we'll have to try that sometime.
Well, and it's really cool, too, because, of course, like, her face changes
yes.
and everything, too. So, yeah, Warlock gets his mission.
Yeah, we finally find out why the hell he's been brought to the future and what all he needs to actually do, and that is... He just needs to get a hold of the three pieces of the Grand Grimoire to bring forth the end times.
To undo creation.
Yeah, which he doesn't necessarily believe in that side of it. He's just like, well, why would I want to do that? And then Zamiel is just like, well, you know, we'll throw in some powers for you too. And he's like, I like where your mind is at.
It's crazy that this movie has our bad guy as our main character, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
We see so much of Warlock.
Yeah. This is definitely more like, it's a good split between the good guys versus bad guys.
Yeah.
But the journey is very much about him himself.
Yes.
And honestly, if you cut out the other two, that would, you know, it'd still be an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I would watch Warlock's little shenanigans all day.
Yeah.
Because he's just so sassy.
Oh, absolutely. He does get gifted the eyes of the psychic to be his compass to find the various sections of the book.
Now, since she was a fake psychic, though...
Why do they
think her eyes are going to work?
Magic. It's all magic. Don't worry. Don't think too hard about
okay.
it. It's just magic.
Okay. I can't think too hard about this one. I see.
Yes. Checking back in with Cass, she arrives home. Of course, the whole place is covered in police tape and evidence stuff. And she's just like, this has been fun. I'm getting the fuck out of here. She starts to pack up. And it's at this point in time that our other main boy from the past shows up. Old Redfern's there.
Yep, he finally made it.
He asks if the warlock had spilt any blood whenever he had appeared, because that's how he's going to track him. And she's like, well, he did crash through this window. And he's like, hey, where's the blood? Where's the glass? And she's like, I think some is in this vacuum cleaner here. And they bust open the vacuum bag. And there is, in fact, one little piece of glass that has just a tiniest little bit of blood on it you've ever seen. And so Redfern scrapes some of it off into a bottle, gets some water to start doing his magic to find the warlock. And the whole time Cassandra's just like, yeah, okay, buddy, this is all real cool and stuff, but...
I was gonna say, we need to explain that Cassandra is not cool with any of
she's
not just like la da 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 da, all this weird stuff's happening. No, she's actually acting normal and being like, oh yeah, sure, the glass, and then like backing up to go call the police.
She's playing, she's humoring him so she's safe, because God knows he's probably a maniac, because the last person that just randomly came into her house did murder her roommate.
And Redfern is dressed all in like animal furs and has like scraggly wild hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, he probably is a maniac.
Absolutely. In bed.
Spoiler alert. This movie doesn't have any weird scenes where suddenly they're having sex for no reason.
Yeah, that would have been really strange, because the tone of this film has no room for that.
Yeah. That would have been disappointing for this one.
Yeah. While Redfern is trying to make his warlock hunting compass. His witch compass specifically. While he's trying to get that to function, Cass is trying to get away. She calls the cops because, you know, got another maniac on her hands. The cops arrive. Redfern, I think it's this moment where he actually realizes, somehow it hasn't dawned on him that he's not like just in another village or whatever. I don't know. Maybe the building itself.
Yeah.
The plumbing.
The
her
way
clothes,
she's dressed.
You know, how she's talking.
I was going to say her attitude towards him, because I bet no women talked like that to any men back then.
He's just finally realizing that maybe he's in a different time.
You want to know what really makes him know that he's in a different time? The fact that he gets tased.
That's right. Yeah.
And his face is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. This is another one of those moments where it's like, are we sure this is a serious film?
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets tased and hauled off by the cops. And the cops tell Cassandra, they're just like, hey, you need to get out of this house. And she's just like,
please.
Try and stop me, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, so she continues packing, and in this moment, the witch compass actually decides to work because, bum, 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 Warlock is right outside.
Yep.
She didn't get out fast enough.
No, no, he ends up breaking into the house and finds some of the pages of the book inside an antique table that was in their kitchen.
Just, you know, randomly has this ancient evil books pages in their table. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, it's very strange or lucky or unlucky in this case that the very house that he smashed into when transported to the future also contained the pages.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you can't write that.
Hey, I'll just say it. Gay people have eclectic collections.
Yeah.
And this guy just happened to collect ancient evil books.
Cassandra hides in the bathroom and is trying to figure out what the hell she's going to do about the fact that she now has the crazy warlock in her house again. He busts through and attacks her and snags her bracelet and puts a nice little curse on her for just existing.
Yep.
It's like, because she flat out didn't do anything to get in his way.
No, she literally had even told him, hey, you need to rest up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she
I
was
care
helpful.
For you.
Yeah, she, up until this point, yeah, like his exposure to her has been very helpful.
But no, instead, he wants to curse her.
Yeah.
And she gets knocked out. And when she awakens, she is obviously much older.
Yeah, yeah. The curse is that for every day that passes, she ages 20 years.
Oh, and do the math here, folks. Yeah. That's not very many days to be alive.
No, no. Like, she has jumped from being in her 20s to being in her 40s. And I'm going to tell you, those 20 years that passed for her were not kind to her.
She better start moisturizing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. She should have been moisturizing yesterday. She goes to the police department to bail out Red Fern because of the fact that maybe there's something to all this now that she's magically aged 20 years.
Yeah, and he's quick to tell her that they got to get the bracelet back to break the curse.
Yeah.
And they got to do it soon because you ain't going to last long.
Yeah, you got two sleeps left in you, and then you get the long sleep.
They begin their journey to find the warlock and get the bracelet back. And while they're driving around, we see Red Fern preparing his weapons. He's salting his whip in a very interesting way. You know, licking it and then putting the salt on it and then licking it.
Salting his whip. That sounds like a euphemism.
Okay, yeah, it does sound kind of nasty once you pointed
it out.
Don't
mind me, I'm just salting me whip.
I'm just salting me whip. Oh,
Yeah, in between, like, seeing what they're up to, we do also see Warlock just wandering around, trying to find the other book parts. And he comes upon a trailer park where there's a boy playing with a football. And Warlock, I think he's a football fan, guys. Hey, what team do you think he would back?
The Ravens.
You heard it here first, folks. I have no quip to...
That or he's a Husker.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I believe.
Okay. Let us know what team you think that... I'll tell you what, folks... Let us know in the comments which team that Warlock would back and then which fantasy football league Red Fern would back.
Oh.
So we can have our dream Warlock Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
For all those sports ball fans out there that listen to our show.
Oh, did you see that ludicrous display last night?
I'll tell you, the ref really was the villain of the piece.
Just like the Warlock, because things don't go too well for this kid that he meets in this trailer park.
No.
Because the conversation seems kind of lighthearted and cute at first.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking back and forth, and he's like, I'm a witch, and the kid's like, witches are girls, you can't be a witch.
Yeah, and if you're a witch, where's your broomstick? And he's just like, up your ass, you little bastard.
Okay, he doesn't necessarily say that.
No,
no. But eventually the conversation does lead to, oh, well, why are you not in the church?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's like, well, my family doesn't believe, so we don't go to church. Aha, the warlock says.
Yeah, oh, really? Cass and Redfern arrive at a gas station, and while they're there, they can hear gunshots in the distance, and they're told by the gas station attendant that there's a really bad coyote problem in the area, and that what the gunshots they're hearing is clearly just people hunting the coyotes. Now, I thought, because it's been so long since I've seen this movie, that what they were really hearing was people shooting at the warlock.
Yeah.
And him going, you feeble-minded fools. However, we quickly see that, in fact, yeah, like, they are killing a coyote, because we see a dead one. And it, we also find out that a boy was killed, supposedly by a coyote.
That's what they believe. Yeah, Redfern explains that, oh, that kid wasn't killed by a coyote. It was definitely Warlock, and he's probably got flying powers now because you need an unbaptized kid to get the flying powers.
You boil down their fat to make it into a tasty beverage.
Mmm, yummy. That's a lot to go into a spell, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I feel like all kids back in the day were probably forcefully baptized.
Still saved. It counts.
Oh, okay.
It counts. How many babies give consent to be baptized?
Well, none? I mean, hey, I'm not saying about the... I'm just saying back then, it would have been hard to find a kid to do this spell.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why witches weren't just flying around willy-nilly.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. To solidify the fact that the warlock now has flying powers, we get to see another really goofy-ass scene of a cop just kind of hanging out with his radar gun, and it goes bananas, and then the warlock goes zooming by. It's like a scene, it's like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes. Yeah, because he's so fast and so superimposed onto the film. And we see him fly a lot after this. And they could not decide what size he was.
No.
He does have a specific pose.
Yes, he does.
That he loves to do for his flying. Yeah. And it's so majestic.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, but it just makes his feet look real dainty.
Yes.
He's like,
he looks like a
little
ballet dancer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, somehow he's more cute when he's flying.
I know, he's already so cute. And then flying warlock?
Flying warlock sounds like a slur. Maybe we get easy on that.
I thought it sounded like a metal band, but...
Oh, flying warlock also sounds like a tavern. God, flying warlock sounds like a lot of things.
Yeah. Could be a sex position, too.
You gonna come back to my place and do the flying warlock?
Ooh.
What would that entail?
You don't want to know.
Hey, listeners, you know, the listeners that don't give a shit about sports ball.
Yeah,
comment,
tell us.
Yeah, tell us.
What's a flying warlock?
Yeah, you know, and you can comment on our website, our socials, even on Spotify, you can comment. So I want to hear, and I don't care if it's like 5 years after this episode's aired.
Yeah.
I need to hear someone tell me, how do you perform a flying warlock? Inquiring minds have to know. Cassandra and Redfern are driving around, and Redfern starts to just talk a little bit about his past and the history with the warlock and such, and accidentally mentions somebody that was very special to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way that he brings it up is he's like, why do you paint your face?
Oh, okay, yeah.
In a he's like all disgusted, like, oh, why do you do that? And Cassandra's like, because I like it. And he's like, well, Marion wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
as if she's supposed to know who Marion is and why she would care.
Yeah.
And Marion doesn't do it.
No, yeah. And when she inquires about who that is, he clams up because, you know, it's still, even though it's been 300 years.
Yeah.
It's still fresh to him. They pull off to the side of the road, and while Redfern is still trying to do his tracking of Warlock, Cassandra starts to age even more. So yeah. Now, if you're keeping track, she is 60.
Yeah, and this goes to show that it doesn't necessarily mean that she has to go to sleep for her to age.
Yeah, it seems that like once it hits midnight, bam, it happens. And I thought that was going to be more along the lines of over the hours she ages the 20 years, not that as soon as it hits midnight, bam, 20 years have passed. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, and so she's probably hurting a lot right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, it's clear that, you know, not only has she not been moisturizing, but she's not been getting enough calcium, so she's starting to form osteoporosis.
Whoa.
Yeah. The next day at a farm, the Warlock finds more pages. Mm-hmm. He's just knocking this out.
Hey, he's good at what he does. And we get to see some of what he does, which he's playing. He's playing with like some fire. He's doing some fire
he's
magic.
He's doing his fire fingies.
He's doing his little Warlock things.
Yeah.
All the animals are like, ooh, he's doing Warlock things.
Hey, Bessie, look. That guy's doing Warlock things.
So the farmer does find that all the signs of a witch are happening. Mm-hmm. Milk's gone bad. The horses are scared and sweaty. Mm-hmm. You know, all the classic signs of a witch being present.
Yeah, yeah. He goes and gets some paint. To start doing some painting of the barn. Oh, okay. Was this one of the chores that he was going to be doing for that day?
No, James, he's got a special symbol he's putting on there.
Yeah, and it just so happens, man, it's the luckiest movie in the world because Cassandra and Redfern are driving by the farm, and Redfern's just like, oh, look, there's a sigil.
And the witch compass does go off, too.
Yes, it does.
So, Warlock is nearby.
Yeah. He goes to the farm and starts asking the young man on the farm, have you any witches? Or have you been bewitched and all that? What's up with the symbol? And that's when the old man farmer comes in, just like, yes. You know, like, well, he announces that he's not Amish, but a Mennonite.
Mm-hmm.
And is aware of all the old ways. And he also kind of belittles his son for not paying mind to all of the old world stuff.
Well, yeah, his son is obviously more new world than he is.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And it turns out there was something to it. So then it's a case of Redfern going, all right. Well, I saw that the little window was open in the attic, so we need to seal that and throw these pennies in your mouth. And I'm going to go up into the attic, seal it behind me, and I'm taking care of this bitch-ass Warlock now.
Yeah, once he gets up there, he does see signs that the Warlock was snooping about up there. In fact, he finds one of the grimoire pages.
Oh, cool.
So, good for him.
Yeah. He lets them know that he found a page, and Cassandra's just like, well, now, if he's been looking for this thing, why the hell would he leave behind a page?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Redfern's just like, oh, shite, he's still here. And so he runs back up into the attic, and sure as sugar, the Warlock is, in fact, still there. They have a little bit of a showdown in the attic, but this leads to just the funniest stuff.
Yes.
Because
that's a good way to describe it.
Redfern gets thrown out the window and does this comical fall. Warlock is floating around.
He's zipping about.
And they get a hold of the weather vane. And I'll tell you, freaking Redfern is solid at tossing that damn thing because he throws it at Warlock and impales him. And so now he's got this rope hanging from him and he's just like awkwardly wobbling around while flying. And it looks so incredibly funny because they went with practical effects during this particular part. So he's not superimposed. You can very much tell that the poor actor playing Warlock is just dangling from a string.
Yes.
And just having a real hard time.
Yeah, this is another movie from this year's list that I would like to see like some commentary for.
Yeah.
Especially this scene.
Yeah.
Because there was no way they did this safely.
No. And it's just so incredibly funny. They managed to get the Warlock down and they're trying to throw the thumb and toe cuffs back on him. However, he curses the eyes of the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
This distracts Red Fern.
Well, Red Fern has said earlier, he warned, I think it was Cassandra that he warns to not look into his eyes.
Yeah.
Because he can get you that way, too.
And,
So, ladies, sorry if you're planning on looking in Warlock's eyes forever. Might be...
It'll be the last thing you see.
It might be the last thing you see. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So Red Fern's just like, oh, well, you know, we have to help this man. And Warlock starts to get away. And Cassandra's just like, we have to get the Warlock because he's got my bracelet and I can't age anymore. And Red Fern's just like, all right, well, here's this hammer. Get some nails and drive the nails into anywhere that he's touched and it will hurt him. He's vulnerable that way. And she's just like, this is nonsense. He's just like, do it, woman. So she gives chase after Warlock, and even more funny scenes. It almost feels like Home Alone because she starts nailing his footprints and he's hiding inside one of the train cars because they managed to get far enough away to where there's trains.
Yeah, and he was even in the middle of doing his warlocky stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when she hits the nail into the first footprint, he's like, yow!
Yes! Yeah, it's like Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. I think you did say, what was that, a Tom and Jerry scream?
Yes. It's what he sounds like. She keeps doing it, but eventually while she's doing it, it doesn't work because he has lifted his feet in the air and put a board against his feet to make, I guess, new footprints. I don't really understand how that works.
I think it was more of a barrier.
Oh, okay.
Between like the nail and the foot.
Oh, I see. So she's nailing the board as opposed to his foot.
I guess
that's how it works. As long as he doesn't have shoes on.
What kind of wood was it? Was it you? Because then it would be protective.
Well, it wasn't me.
Y-E-U.
Oh, okay.
You. Because, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
I have heard of the nails and the footprints thing, though. Yeah. That is something I have heard before.
Well, she takes it up a notch because she finds a spot where his face has landed.
Ha ha.
And she nails it and gets him in the head, which knocks him out. She sees his arm dangling out of the train car, and she's like, yay, I can get my bracelet. But as she's hobbling over, because, you know, remember, she's 60, the train car starts to move, and so we get a really slow chase sequence.
Yes. And it's kind of long, too.
It is incredibly long.
I don't think it's like 10 minutes, but It feels longer than that.
Yeah. She manages to catch up just in time for him to become conscious again. And they struggle a little bit. She falls to the ground. But luckily, she discovers that during this tussle, she did, in fact, get her bracelet back.
Oh, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. She returns to the farm to find Red Fern taking care of the farmer and prepping him to undo the awful curse. Cassandra reveals that she is young again. She gives him her keys. And she's just like, well, you've watched me drive, so you can surely figure it out. The deal was that once I got young again, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. Because that warlock is serious shit, and I ain't gonna die because of him.
Yeah. Well, here's the humor of the movie, though. And what we haven't really mentioned was while they were traveling, he kept backseat driving.
Oh, yes.
Even though he had no idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. He learned from just watching her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like a lot of their interactions because they are very humorous.
Redfern explains that if Warlock gets the last piece of the book, he's going to be doing way worse than just putting curses on her. He's going to undo all of existence. Mm-hmm. So she might as well help out. Plus, they make a great buddy cop team.
Yeah, and he straight up says, "Don't worry, I will protect you."
Yeah.
Like, looks deep into her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, fan fiction style.
Yep. She agrees to stick with him. And they know that the next spot that they need to go to is Boston, which is quite a ways away. And so she's just like, "Psh, I got this. We're going to fly." And we get another incredibly humorous scene of them at the airport, which this is pre-9/11, folks. So clearly there's not as much security checks because this guy is walking around with that giant ass weather vane. And no one's really acting like that's a weird thing.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about going through security, and it's when they have gotten past this point that she realizes that he has it.
Yeah, because they're actually approaching the gate, and that's where he starts to have his, like, I guess it's dawned on him when he sees the airplanes. He's just like, "Whoa, I'm not getting on any, flying wagons." Like, man wasn't meant to fly.
He's like, "I got to keep my feet on the ground."
Yeah. And she's like, no, it'll be okay. They get onto the plane and he has to check his weapon of choice into the luggage because the fact that, it'd be awkward for him. That's not going to fit in the overhead compartment.
Oh, no.
Yeah, at least that hasn't changed. They get into their seats, and as they're flying, he starts to notice the signs of the presence of a witch because there's a guy putting creamer in his coffee and it's clotted.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, "Oh, shit. There's a witch here." So then they have to try to figure out where the warlock could possibly be hiding. And they actually get up and wander around the plane. Redfern walks in on a lady having a deuce.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they are not going to find this warlock because he's stowed away with all the luggage under the plane.
Yes.
Doing his little warlock thing again. Just sitting cross-legged and doing his little magics.
Yeah.
They make it to Boston and to the church. They make it way too late at night. The pastor's leaving, and Redfern's able to get out. "Oh, but we're here to look up about the Grand Grimoire."
Yeah.
He uses a secret word lets them into the church.
Yeah, it's amazing that the pastor is just like, "Oh, shit, you know about that? Come on in." And Redfern's just like, "I'm very sure that the warlock is somewhere nearby. We need to speed this along." The pastor's just like, "Well, I've got records of the book." And what they had done is he explains what we all know as the audience, which is that many years ago, they thought the smartest thing to do to make sure that the warlock could never, ever actually do the undoing is to split the book up in three parts and send it on its merry way, hide it in part of a table, give it to some other schmo. And then the last part is put it on hallowed ground in the cemetery.
Yes.
And it's just like, "Okay, well, let's go to the cemetery and get that last part of the book and make sure that that damn pesky warlock doesn't get his little nasty fingies all over it."
They are not nasty. He washes his hands, thank you. He's too beautiful of a man to not wash his hands.
He washes his hands and pig piss.
Whatever. He's got one of those little dishes, that they used back in the day.
Yeah.
That he just splashes his fingers
in. It's like the little lemon water dish.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine.
He's very fancy.
He is very fancy. Redfern and Cassandra, they go off to go to where the last piece of the book is hidden. While they leave, Warlock does in fact show up.
Oh boy.
And he's just like, tell me what you told them. Where's the last part of the book? And the pastor's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And the pastor's got his lady friend there. Mm-hmm. And Warlock's just like, well, I'll tell you what. If you don't tell me, then I'm going to kill the unborn baby. And it's like, yeesh.
Warlock, you nasty man.
Mm-hmm. Our two heroes arrive at the graveyard, and they're trying to find a grave with the mark showing that it's where the book is hidden. And Cassandra ends up finding the grave.
Uh-oh.
And she's just like, oh, well, here it is. No need to look. And Redfern's just like, get out of my way. What's the problem? And discovers that it's his grave.
Now, okay. How does this work?
Well, you know, actually, this kills any suspense. Because of the fact that if, in fact, his body is in this grave with the book, then that surely tells us that whatever happens from this point on, they win.
Right.
Because how would he have the last part of the book to be buried with?
Right.
So, and also that's hopeful. That means that he actually gets to go home. Now, if they were to open up the grave and
his body wasn't there.
His body wasn't there, but the book part was there, then at least like some of it's positive. It just means that he's never going home. They decide to leave it be because it's on hallowed ground. No need to worry. Everything's cool. They start to walk off, and that's when they discover a sign that shows that the cemetery has been shifted to make room for construction. And so a lot of these graves are not accurate.
Uh-oh.
They go back over, do their little tests to see if it's hollow ground, and it turns out that this grave has, in fact, moved. So they need to go ahead and bust open that tomb and get that last part of the book to move it.
Ooh, that's not good for Redfern.
Now, again, you know, since they pop it open and his body is in there, there's no need to sweat. Because they're clearly going to win.
Well, Redfern's sweating.
Well, yeah.
Because he's getting to see his own dead body.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, how would you recognize it? It's just going to be skeleton bits and gristle.
I, too, would be horrified to see my own 300-year-old corpse.
I would be bothered if I could tell how old I was.
Oh,
and if I look about the same age.
Okay, that would be even more disturbing.
If I'm wearing the same thing I'm currently wearing.
What?
You know, like I'd be like, oh, shit, either I really like that shirt or I don't got much longer. We have just that one more little comical moment because when Cassandra is trying to remove the part of the book, Redfern's skeleton thingies are latched on. And so she has to break all of his little fingers to get that last part of the book.
Yeah, it's so awful.
And Redfern's just like, will you hurry up? And she's just like, listen, I'm trying, but you don't understand what I have to do right now. Shit goes sideways because Warlock shows up and gets a hold of Cassandra and wants to do a trade for her if Redfern will give him the last part of the book. And Redfern's just like, won't you come here and take it?
Yeah.
It's like, God damn. And he's just like, no magic. No weapons, just me versus you, or are you not tough enough?
Ooh.
And this works.
Ooh.
Warlock's just like, motherfucker, I'm going to kick your ass. And Redfern's just like, not before I kick yours. And they have a good old-fashioned tussle, folks.
Their enemy relationship is so good.
Yes.
They say such sassy things to each other.
Yeah. Their fight is very entertaining, especially because of the fact that Redfern even pulls the old pocket sand trick.
Yes.
This pisses off Warlock. And he does use a little bit of magic and takes care of old Redfern. He gets the last part of the book. He puts it together. It looks like shit is not going so great, folks. Folks, you know how earlier in the movie, in the episode, when we said that they decided to make her diabetic and need insulin?
Yeah.
We finally have the payoff.
Hey!
She had, during all the tussle, been tossed into the water, and she uses the syringes for her insulin to put salt water in there and then injects the warlock with the salt water.
Yes.
And as we all know, warlocks hate salt.
Yeah, witches, warlocks, and it's, salt.
Yeah, they don't mix.
And demons, too.
Yeah.
What is it about salt?
They have a low sodium diet.
Oh.
Yeah. Their little tickers
just can't take it.
Yeah.
Poor guys.
Well, it's stressful being evil. You got to keep that blood pressure low. And his blood pressure goes through the roof, causing his ass to explode.
Well, not before he's all sinewy looking.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool death.
Yeah, they do a really cool effect where his blood vessels are bursting and such. When his charred corpse lands on the ground, his skull's still going.
Yeah, I guess they had to put in that last little teeny bite of humor.
Yes. Here it is. We're at the end. Red Fern's just like, well, now that everything is groovy, I'm going to go back home. And we have this little bit of a romantic moment between Red Fern and Cassandra. I guess they've been through enough.
Yeah, and he already was like, yeah, my wife is dead.
Yeah, so where you want to come back with me? I don't know. Our love's forbidden. So I'll see you when I see ya.
He disappears in the moment when they have a little smooch.
Yeah.
And his grave is now... It has more engraving on it.
Yes.
So he made it back. He died back then. Good job, Red Fern.
Yeah.
Mission complete.
That's right. And then we see what Cass's next move is. And that is she goes to the smartest fucking place ever to hide the damn book, which is the fucking salt flats.
Yes.
Ain't no witches getting that.
Oh, hell no.
Well, maybe they could. Because, I mean, yeah, like, they can't touch the salt. But surely they can just use magic to lift the book out of the ground. We're going to have to watch the sequel to find out
how
this works.
I was just thinking we really need to watch the sequel. Because Cassandra just drives off. And who knows what happens after that.
Drives off into...
It wasn't the sunset.
The afternoon?
I can't remember if this one was actually a sunset one, but...
No. Well, she just drives off. The hero drives off. Wonderful. The end.
The end.
Verdict. Fun movie.
Yeah. It's a great movie. As I said, it was surprisingly nostalgic for me. So it was really fun to revisit.
Yes.
Get some memories back. And I highly suggest it. It's just fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, also, we didn't, you know, like, the actor that plays Red Fern is Richard E. Grant.
Yes.
Anything that he is in is fantastic.
And he's so good in this.
Yes. Yep. And then, of course, the actor that plays Warlock is Julian Sands, who, you know, you Arachnophobia fans out there will recognize. He also would return for the sequel for Warlock. He's pretty prolific. I mean, you know, he is in The Bobbleheads, the movie.
Oh, my. Okay. I didn't know he was in Warlock, too. So that means that Red Fern's extra measure of smashing the Warlock's head in.
Yeah.
His charred body. It didn't work, huh?
Correct. Yeah.
Man, we gotta see the sequel for sure.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Warlock 2 does not necessarily connect to the first one. So
I think that
we have...
Is it like maybe a prequel?
No, it's just another story. It's kind of like Leprechaun.
Okay.
You know, where it's just like, we just like this character so much, we're gonna make movies regardless of it making any sense.
And there is a third one too, correct?
Yeah. That one came out in 99.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, what?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, that one does not feature Julian Sands. So, you know, I don't know. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not a huge fan of remakes and such.
Mm-hmm.
And some movies deserve them, some movies don't. But Autumn, I'm going to tickle your fancy.
Okay.
I'm going to float a concept, or at the very least an actor I'd like to see play the Warlock for a remake.
Okay.
And that is, I think Ben Mendelsohn should be Warlock.
No, you know who I was thinking?
Whoa, you turned down the Mendelsohn?
I know. I think he should maybe be Red Fern instead.
Oh.
I want to see the guy that plays Homelander be the warlock. Because they look so similar.
Okay. All right. I can accept that.
Yeah. I think he would be really good.
So you want an older Red Fern.
I want an older Red Fern.
Okay.
And
so
warlock.
What if we do this? What if we make it, it's not a remake. It's actually a sequel to the first one.
Okay.
Because I doubt Richard E. Grant would actually come back.
Yeah, who knows?
It would be amazing if he did.
It would.
It would be great.
It would be cool.
To have an actual sequel to see Red Fern as an old man back in the olden times, mm-hmm. teaching the next line of witch hunters.
Ooh, yeah.
And then maybe then it goes to the present day and Ben Mendelsohn is his great-great-great-grandson.
Oh.
See, I can make this work. I'm going to eat my cake and have it too. I'm going to get this. I want it done.
Yeah, I can't remember that guy's name that plays Homelander, but I just think that he could pull it off really well because he's already so evil as Homelander.
Yeah, and we know he looks good flying.
Yes. Yes.
All right. That brings us to the end this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode is our X episode. X for Extro 3.
Oh, no.
Well, it had to happen, Autumn. Luckily, it's the last one for now.
We don't have very more.
We don't have any,
X
movies. We don't have much more X movies, so that like the clock is ticking.
Extra 4, you better come out soon.
All right. See how we feel about Extra 3 in the next episode. Until next time, if you find yourself hanging out with your roommate and a strange man comes crashing through the window, don't put him in your roommate's bed, you jackass. Call the authorities, get that person hauled off, because at the very least, they need to see a doctor. And if you find yourself getting mixed up in some sort of time travel, witchcraft nonsense, do at least one important thing, and that is stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh